Would you say that you identify as stupid thick?
What does stupid thick mean? Like thick in the head?
No, stupid thick is like, oh my gosh, she's stupid thick. Like stupid thick.
I don't know that one.
It's like, oh, like Jessica Rabbit, stupid thick.
I mean, I'd like to relate to Jessica Rabbit. I've been watching that movie with my daughters a lot lately, and she is hot.
Stupid thick.
She's stupid thick.
Yes.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
But I actually think I'm addicted to it a little bit. I think I'm addicted to the drama, the fingerless gloves. It took me months to get around to listening to your podcast, but it's not bad. Still have this ticker.
I know that we're not the worst, but we're not bad.
Why is it the guys who are assholes are always licking their lips a lot? Is that is there something there?
It's a cocaine thing.
It's a cocaine thing. I thought about a nipple! Uncovered breasts! Quick, get some water, wash me off. I just jizzed all over myself. He suggested a boob.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Catskins, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I am Brian Green. This is my dear friend and co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chrissy.
And best to you, Brian.
And a best to you out there in the podcast universe. How the hell are you? Thanks for joining us on yet another episode of this, The Commercial Break. It's not for everyone, but fact, news, or fiction is guaranteed in 30 seconds or less. You heard it here last. That's all I'm going to say. Okay, now, we're getting toward the end of the year.
Yes.
We're getting toward the end of the season.
Yes.
It's been a long slog.
Yeah.
I don't want to do too much complaining because actually we love the job.
We absolutely do.
Love it.
It's my most favorite job ever.
But I like being a parent too, and I got to take a break every couple of minutes. Yeah. I got to pawn my children off to my in-laws who are going to be in town in like minutes, and I cannot fucking wait because I love my children, but I just have to take a break. So, here's what I think we have an opportunity to do over the next couple of episodes, as these will be some of the last of the season.
Yes, okay.
We have an opportunity. Let's clean out the computer, okay? We're going to, we have 75 different lists going of things we can talk about in the commercial break, none of which are centralized and everyone has their own ideas.
Yes.
So what it usually ends up happening is I go into my notes and I figure out something to talk about. Seconds before the actual microphones turn on. If you think this is true improv in the most...
I was going to say, we are totally improvising it the whole time.
In the most pure way. It's like, I had someone ask me the other day. They said, do you rehearse the show? Because a lot of these... A lot of these jokes are just too funny to make off the cuff. First of all, that guy was drunk because I don't know which show he's listening to, but nothing about this is probably very funny. But second of all, there is zero chance. There is zero rehearsal about this. We literally, Chrissy walks in, I press record, we go. That's it. She has no idea what we're going to talk about. I barely have any idea what we're going to talk about.
And then usually, even if we do know what we're going to talk about, we don't talk about it.
Never
works out
like that.
Because we go down wormholes of different things.
I know. And then, like, I was talking to another podcaster, and she says, well, maybe you guys in season number four, I wasn't complaining. I was just like, you know, I feel that sometimes like it's a little bit of a train off the tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And we just go every different direction, and then it kind of comes together somehow, some way, some shape. And she was like, well, why don't you guys sit down before every show and spend a half an hour like talking about the show? And I'm like, if we do that, it's guaranteed to be even less funny than it is right now. Guaranteed.
Yes.
Because part of the cuteness of the show, like the kink of the show, is the fact that we really are clueless about what we're talking about.
Yes, and we've known each other for so long. We're such best friends that it just works.
You know that guy, Sam... Bankman Friedman or Freed or whatever his name is.
Yes.
I was listening to our episode the other day and we called him Adam Friedland. His name is Sam. We can't even. I had just finished reading that story before we came on air and I couldn't even remember the guy's fucking name. Did we care? No, we did not.
No.
Thank God people aren't coming for actual information.
Well, we have our disclaimer.
Yeah, we do. Fact, news, or fiction.
You
mainly
guess.
Fiction. Yeah, I should say fact, news, mainly fiction in 30 seconds or less. So
well, maybe
let's...
that's what we'll do is have just some like correct spellings of names.
Yeah,
of
we should just at least know what we're talking. when we talk about someone in the news, we should at least understand what their name is.
Yes.
Or get some of the facts right.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? The good news is we don't talk about news here. because I'm sure we'd end up in some court somewhere.
Absolutely, we would.
Okay, you ready? Let's play clean out the computer.
Okay.
All right, I'm just going to name off some topics that I thought about talking about one time, and then we'll go through it. Are you ready?
Yes.
Jason Momoa is nude everywhere. Click that one off the list. But it's true. Did you notice that Jason Momoa is basically just naked in 2022?
I mean, he's got the body to do it.
God bless America, yeah. He does. So, fuck yeah.
Flaunt it.
Even as a red-blooded American man, I know that Jason Momoa has one smoking hot body.
Yes.
He's big, too.
Yeah.
That's what makes it so impressive. It's not that he's got a nice body. Lots of people have nice bodies. Mm-hmm. That he's fit and in shape, and he probably doesn't do anything for it. He's out in Hawaii swinging on vines or whatever the fuck Jason Momoa does. Isn't he married to...
Lisa Bonet.
Yeah,
he was with her.
That's Kravitz's daughter, isn't
yes,
it? Oh
yes.
My God, is she beautiful?
No. It's Kravitz's ex-wife. He has... Then they have Zoe, or Zoe Kravitz.
Zocro? Zocro.
She's beautiful, too. I mean...
But wait, that's his wife? His
ex-wife?
Yeah,
Lisa Bonet, that is his ex-wife.
So Jason...
They got married back when she was on, like, Cosby Show.
Yeah, like Different Strokes or Different World or whatever it was.
Yep.
Okay, so let me get this straight, because mm-hmm. we're always talking about this Pete Davidson guy and the epic run that he's on.
Yeah.
So Zoe Kravitz, or yes. Zoe... what's her?
That's Kravitz is her last name.
Is that's her last name?
So she got married, but then she got divorced now too.
But she kept Kravitz.
She did.
So it's Zoe Kravitz Momoa or whatever?
Let's go with that.
Okay,
let's go with that. No, Momoa.
She's not married to Jason. You're totally confusing me. Was she married to Jason?
Who? Zoe?
Zoe.
No, she's the daughter of Lisa.
Oh,
Lisa Bonet was married to Kravitz.
Got
and
it.
Then Lisa got together with Jason Momoa.
This is why you don't trust a fucking word that the commercial break says.
I'm pretty sure I've got that timeline
okay.
right.
Okay. But so Lisa has now been married to Lenny.
She was.
And Jason.
Back in the day.
Okay.
And they had Zoe.
Okay.
And then now she got together with Jason. I don't think they got
married. You don't think they stuck it together?
Well, they're not together anymore for
okay.
sure, but I don't think they ever got married.
All right. So first of all, that's why he's on an epic nude run. It's because the guy just got broke, had a heartbreak. And what do we do? What do us men do when we have a heartbreak? We run around getting drunk and showing our dicks. That's what we do. That's how we heal ourselves. The men go first. This is what men do during a breakup. Men run out to the bar. And they, as fast as they can, show their dick to somebody.
Okay.
That's what happens. Because we feel like if we can just fill that void, literally fill that void.
Somebody else tell me this looks good.
Somebody else tell me it's awesome. Because we could, you know, anyway, that's what we do.
Yeah.
We run out. What women do, I've noticed in my personal experience, what the women who have dated me do is they take 3 to 4 months for heavy psychiatric. And then they get back out into the dating scene. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because women...
I gotta get some cocaine! Driving me crazy!
That's what men do.
Yeah.
But men, women, lick their wounds. They're really... You all are really fucking smart.
Mm-hmm.
You have a little self-reflection.
Yeah, we nest.
You protect yourself. That's right.
Yeah, we heal.
You change... You know, you get new clothing. You paint the walls different colors. You burn the guy's clothing. Meanwhile, we haven't flushed a toilet in a week. There's pee all over the seat. We forgot to shower yesterday. We're eating fucking golden grams and cream for months on end. And then when you emerge,
mm-hmm.
it's like the phoenix rising out of the ground.
Look at how amazing I am now.
And then,
look what you lost.
That's right. And as the hole opens and the phoenix rises, us men just fall right into it. And 3 months later, we're depressed for 7 months. We gain weight. We get fat. We tell all our friends we can't go out because life sucks and I hate my life. We get fired from our jobs. That's what happens. We always talk about this Pete Davidson guy and what an epic run he's on. But the truth is that Miss Bonet has also been on an epic run. She's dated both Lenny Kravitz fucked Lenny Kravitz and Jason Momoa.
Yes.
That's an epic run.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's been like, you know, within the past 30 years, but yeah.
I don't, 30 years? You feel like a run around with Lisa Bonet?
I feel like a run is okay. One right after the other after the other.
Well, she did it. It just took a long time to get there. Pete's going through it much more quickly because I think that Pete's getting found out pretty quickly. Yeah, these women are like, you know, oh, Pete Davidson. He was with Kim K. He's so fun and he's funny and he tickles my my whatever you call
fancy.
It.
Fancy.
Yeah, he tickles my fancy. My laughter, my clit laughter. You know, he's like my clit laughter.
Yeah.
My labia laughter. But then they realize that he's just kind of a dork with a lot of tattoos and who dated Kim Kardashian.
I guess that's what happens.
Okay. So Jason Momoa, nude everywhere. It took us 7 minutes to get through that one. We're doing just fine. I wanted to also talk about at some point during season number three, I wanted to talk about Simon Gwabadia. Do you remember Simon Gwabadia?
Yes, I do.
Do you remember Scam Cole FM? Go back and listen to the episode Scam Cole FM. It's like way at the beginning of the season. And it was like the one episode of the season where we actually got a little serious because I talked about my experience.
Was that even last season?
No, it was this season, okay. I think. Yeah, it was like, oh, yeah, you know what? You might be right because I think we were in the old studio.
Room, yeah.
That's right. In the other room. I say the other studio. She says the other room.
The room across the hall.
We were in the other closet. So Simon Gwabadia, who managed to scam his way onto the Real Housewives of Not Atlanta,
they got married,
met, and then slept. He was married to one woman when he started on Real Housewives of Atlanta. He then cheated on that woman with Portia, and then he got engaged to Portia. They bought a bunch of real estate in Costa Rica. Don't ask me how that happened because the guy's got no money. But then he got married.
This just happened a little while back.
Yeah, this was just like 2 months ago or something like that. It's hard to believe that the epic run that this guy's on. He keeps falling fucking upwards. The guy just failed business after failed business after failed marriage after failed restaurant after failed experiment. And the guy just leaves a wake of destruction. And he just keeps going.
Yeah.
Something about that guy. Mm-hmm. Something about that guy. Keep an eye out for him. He's going to be the next Adam Friedland. Check that off the list.
Okay.
I watched the most. Do you remember a couple months, maybe a month ago, we were talking about how in the restaurant business, women have to basically whore themselves out in order to make a buck. And some men probably feel this too. In other words, you have to be flirtatious when you get to the table, especially if it's a group of guys, because you feel like you have to earn that tip. You want to get as much money as possible. So it puts you in a difficult position of having to maybe do and say things that you otherwise normally wouldn't because you're in fear that you could lose revenue if you don't, in fact, do those things. We talked about how kind of the tipping system is upside down, and it certainly doesn't favor women in this particular equation at bars or restaurants. I watched the most excellent documentary that is also fucking brilliant and hilarious called Hotel Cargoulie.
Oh.
Check this out on Netflix.
Okay.
Amazon, excuse me.
Oh.
Netflix, Amazon, Disney Plus, Discovery. Check it out on one of the five following streaming services.
maybe it was Paramount Plus.
Could have been Paramount Plus. I don't know.
Peacock?
I'm so tired half the time I'm in here. I don't even know. Hotel Cargoulie in Australia. There is a place called Kargoorlie. It's like a miner's town. Basically, only trucks go in and out of it, right? That's it. So it's a tiny little town, population like 180 or whatever. And they have a hotel there called Hotel Kargoorlie. And at the bottom is one of the only bars in anywhere to be found within miles and miles in the middle of fucking Western Australia.
Okay.
Is Hotel Kargoorlie Bar. But because it's so remote, they have a hard time finding people to staff the bar. So the owners of the bar call up a service. That service then finds out of the country immigrants, essentially, who go and work at the bar. Those immigrants just happen to be beautiful young women that they send to the bar. So the whole fucking town gets so excited about the brand new girls that come in every 3 or 4 months. They come in for like a 90-day stint or a 6-month stint, right? So this follows the trajectory of two, I think they're Norwegian women, I think, young Norwegian girls, you know, good looking Norwegian girls who got stuck without any money in the middle of Australia. And so they have to pick up a job. And this is the job they pick up so they can save money and get out of the country, essentially. Yes. This is the most fascinating look at this kind of principle we were talking about, a pay for play when it comes to tipping and women. This is the most fascinating inside look at this actually happening in real time in the most blatant of ways. And it is also fucking hilarious. It's like an intimate portrayal of how this all goes down.
Yeah.
50 guys in a bar, all of them minors. None of them has a, there's like not one manner in the entire building.
I'm sure.
You know how you like your parents teach you some manners? There's not like one manner in the entire building. They're completely unhinged. They're like a pack of wild wolves with boners. They just run around. They scream at the girls, you know, let's show me your tits. You know, it's disturbing, but it's funny. And it's an intimate portrayal. Watch Hotel Carguli.
I will.
Fingerless gloves. I hate fingerless gloves. This is fun. We should do this more often. Just clean it all out. Fingerless gloves.
I have to say I'm with you on that. Yeah.
Who the fuck and why the fuck are you wearing fingerless gloves? When your hands get cold, it's your fingers that get cold. Why are you deciding to take off the only part of the appendage that would actually keep you warm? And to show it, there's a guy. Same guy you and I are always texting about on Instagram. This is the guy.
Oh,
let me explain to you
guy,
folks.
Yeah.
Let me explain to you listeners about a guy that I know on Instagram. He's not a friend of mine. He's a guy that I met one time in Clubhouse. He tried to get on the show a couple of times.
Clubhouse is an app, for those of you who don't know.
That's two seasons ago. Yeah. Chrissy and I were on Clubhouse for a minute. We met him one time. He tried to get on the show. We decided it was not a good fit. Nice enough guy, right?
Sure.
But here is how he puts out so many.
I love it when you send me those.
I know. It's just.
It's really hilarious.
I would play it, but I don't want to offend anybody. No. I just don't want to hurt anybody's feelings in this particular way. But if he's listening, he'll know. He'll know who he is. Let me explain to you how every single Instagram reel starts. Are you ready? For those of you listening at home and you can't see me, I have a phone up to my ear. Ready?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I think if we do it this way on the second time around, then that's where
Hey, folks. Welcome to Instagram. It's me. Brian, I'm just here.
It's like he's finishing up a conversation.
He's always finishing up a conversation.
And while he's filming himself on air. Yeah.
He can't let you.
Like, just go ahead and finish the conversation.
And then press record.
And then press record.
But the thing that we've learned is he's not actually having a conversation with anybody.
Right.
He's making it up. It's like the pretend phone call that I talked about. We've all made them. We've all been there.
Yes, we have.
For one reason or another, someone comes up to you or you're in a situation and you're like, oh, shit, I don't want to have this conversation. Let me make a pretend phone call. But it's the opposite way. He wants to make a phone call, so you think he's doing something important. Every single fucking reel. So 2 weeks ago, he does this. He's, again, yet another reel, and he's a performer, so he's backstage somewhere, right? And he's got the phone, and he's holding it, and he looks behind him, and he goes, yeah, I know, we really did it great on that first one. We'll get him back on the second time. Don't you worry. You know, there's plenty of things happening. Hey, folks, it's Brian here, just helping you. And then he spins the camera around the room because that's just the way he's walking, and you figure out that there is no one else in the room. No one. The guy is talking to himself. He does this every time he opens up a reel, every fucking time. Same guy who is now wearing fingerless gloves in the middle of fucking New York when it's minus 75 degrees. Why are we wearing fingerless gloves? To what end?
The only thing I can think about is if you do want to get on the phone and, you know, the touch screen, but they have gloves that work like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you need to be on the phone and your gloves do not have the touchscreen ability, then let's just call a spade a spade. The half glove is not keeping you warm anyway. Just take the fucking thing off. Don't look like a fucking Yahoo. So stupid.
Yahoo!
Chrissy, it's the most bothersome thing to me. I don't know why that guy just drives me fucking crazy, but I actually think I'm addicted to it a little bit.
Yes,
I think I'm addicted
are.
To the drama, the fingerless gloves. Okay, I did want to talk about another movie that I watched called Psalm 3. Have you ever seen the series of movies about the sommeliers?
No.
Okay, sommelier, for those of you that don't know.
Oh, yes.
Have you seen that?
I love those, yes.
Have you seen Psalm 3?
I have seen Psalm 3.
Is it not the most boring thing you've ever seen in your entire life?
The first two were really good.
The first one was great, and then the second one, it was okay, it was watchable. For those of you that don't know, a sommelier is like a world-class wine taster. They can literally pick They can literally have a glass of wine and they can drink it and they can tell you what region it's from, what year,
yeah. what kind of soil.
It's insane.
The whole thing.
They have highly trained palates.
Yes.
What it's good for, I don't know. But okay, there's sommeliers and they're around the world. I actually have a friend who is
we're working in the wine business. Yeah. That's what they're good for.
So then they have something called a master sommelier.
Oh, yeah.
Like a master sommelier is a whole different level of sommelier. They can pick out the actual brand of wine and the year just by sitting.
They can pick out everything, basically.
So on Sommelier 3, they focus in on three particular master sommeliers.
Right, the masters.
And they do they're referencing this famous wine tasting that happened in France where the yeah, California wines
beat the French wines.
Yes. As if I mean, I understand everything's important in its own context, but they just did a horrible job of making it exciting. I was like, I don't really fucking care. Do I care?
I know.
They made it seem so dramatic, but in the end, there was nothing dramatic about it.
Remember, they were in that conference room.
Yes.
Like a little round table conference room in some hotel somewhere.
You're right. In France.
And they were, tasting wines and figuring things out and commenting.
Yeah, they were talking about how
this wine
made them feel.
But that wasn't even the competition.
No, but that wasn't I don't even know what we were supposed to be focusing on. If you want to watch a movie that's completely boring and totally confuses you, Psalm 3. I think this is a reason to get money out of Netflix so that they can fly around to the regions of France and taste wine.
Well, if that's the case, good. Good job. Best to you.
Yeah, best
Psalm
to you.
3.
Hey, don't hate the player, hate the game. You know what I'm saying? I'm with you here. In acknowledgement, of one of what I think is probably one of the greatest entertainment stories of our generation is Trevor Noah is retiring from Comedy Central's Daily Show.
Yes. He's going back to stand up.
He took 12 years. He had it for 12 years after Jon Stewart, who had it after Craig.
I can't even believe it's been 12 years.
What was it, Craig Kilborn? Yeah, Craig
I think
Kilborn.
It was, yeah.
Craig Kilborn, Jon Stewart, and then Trevor Noah. When Trevor Noah came on Comedy Central the first time, when they announced him as the Daily Show replacement for Jon fucking Stewart, everyone, including myself, was like, what?
Yeah.
Who the fuck is Trevor Noah? Yeah. And he's from South Africa? The Daily Show is like a... There's so much talking about American politics and American pop culture. That's what it's all about. But The Daily Show has become a true source of news and information for a lot of people. Even though it's highly satirical, a lot of people, I think, tune into The Daily Show because it's a digestible way to get their information.
Well, it is. And at least it's palatable to where you're not depressed.
Yeah. I mean, look at how miserable we get. I mean, look at some of the news sources. If you get your news from a podcast or The Daily Show, you got problems. But Trevor Noah took this job and really made a name for himself.
He ran with it.
And I have to give the guy so much credit, and I admire him so much. Because he was a nobody, and everyone said, what the fuck are they doing putting Trevor Noah? But he'll be there for a year, right? He's never going to be able to survive this. And he really made The Daily Show his own.
He did.
And I think, while I don't watch The Daily Show a ton, and I probably...
Daily?
While I don't watch it a ton, and I digest it, probably like most people do, in YouTube clips and Instagram clips, I will say this. Trevor Noah is certainly one of the most talented...
comedians.
Yeah. Satirists of our times. Like, he is so good at what he does, and he's so fucking funny, and he's so fucking quick. And I really think that we're losing
it.
Just like when Jon Stewart left.
Yep.
I feel like this is...
It was hard to imagine a replacement.
So who are they going to put in place?
I don't know.
Jason Momoa. I mean, listen. if you can't beat him, join him. Just get Jason Momoa to do the news shirtless. I can't even think of who would be a good replacement. For
I want
Trevor
to say
Noah.
Like Will Arnett, something like that.
Yeah, okay, Will Arnett.
I think he's hilarious.
I think John Popper from the Blues Travelers would be a great fit for the Daily Show. Skinny John Popper, not large John Popper. John Popper's skinny is what I think. He could just play the harmonica when anything goes wrong. He just does a little number. Let's see if I've got a little John. Here's a little John Popper.
John Popper.
Okay, Trevor Noah out of the way. Here's next. NFTs. I know we had a lot of conversation around NFTs this year.
Yeah.
And the unfortunate part is, for most people who own NFTs, they're probably a lot less valuable than they were when they bought the NFTs. The NFT market is not doing so hot, and neither is the crypto market, in case anybody hasn't noticed.
No.
Billions and billions and billions of dollars lost. Billions and billions and billions of dollars created out of thin air and then back to thin air.
Do you still have any crypto?
I have one type of crypto, and it's not decentralized.
Okay.
So it's not what they call DeFi. It's actually centralized. It's weird, and I don't want to get into all it here. I don't want to be sommelier four and bore everybody to fucking death with my crypto talk. But there's one coin that I think actually has some utility in it, and that the banks and credit card companies, processing companies, are interested in using in the future because it's not decentralized in a way that makes it just kind
vulnerable.
Vulnerable to all this bullshit. Yeah. And its price has stayed relatively stable for years. Now, that's not good for me because I'm not actually gaining any money.
Right, you've got it to gain money.
Yeah, but I think at some point...
You haven't lost.
I haven't lost any money. Okay. I certainly haven't. But NFTs, I think, arguably, have taken one of the bigger hits in this whole decentralized crypto blockchain bullshit. And that's because, you know, people have figured out that paying $55,000 for a fucking picture of a hat is probably not the best idea.
Yeah, well, there was just a wild craze for them.
People went nuts.
Yeah, and that drove up the price, again, supply and demand. So people were demanding them. Then they got supplied, and then there was so much supply of just crap.
Like, it's all crap. It's all a pump and dump scam.
It's one thing to have like the Madonna NFT and have that. I mean, even though I wouldn't buy that.
I would. It's a picture of a tree growing out of Madonna's vagina.
Right.
Who wouldn't want that hanging around?
Exactly. That seems like it has the value, but like just random people creating NFTs.
Well, yeah, there's so many random people creating NFTs that really, and listen, art has value. It has inherent value, and especially to those that create it and to those that love it. It's hard to put a value on art. That's why Picasso goes for, you know, $55 million when some people just might think Picasso's kind of like crappy artwork, right? It's so fucking subjective.
It's very subjective.
And that is ultimately its weakness when it comes to scams and con artists, is that they pump and dump this stuff. You feel like you're so afraid that you're going to miss out on getting rich quick that you go and spend a ton of money on stuff that really...
You get poor quick.
Yeah, you get poor quick. That's right. I was just reading a story. Someone is suing a bunch of celebrities, and one of them was Justin Bieber, because Justin owned a Bored Ape Yacht Club. Right? He owned a Bored Ape. He bought it. He bought it for $1.2 million, which, by the way, is not the highest that's ever been paid for a Bored Ape either. People were paying millions and millions of dollars at one point. Well, now the floor on those things is like $38,000. It's still very expensive, but it's different. It's not millions of dollars. So guy purchases this from Justin Bieber.
The
Bored Ape that Justin Bieber bought for $1.2 million. He buys for like $1.8 million, right? And now it's worth like $32,000. And he's saying that Justin Bieber, you know, was involved in some scam to defraud him of money. And the truth is, here's my advice. After so many years of living on this earth, after so much experience, after so much knowledge, most of it useless and none of it probably real. But whenever these newfangled things come out that everyone's running and trying to get rich on, it's not real. It can never be real. It's not. You don't get rich overnight unless you create a podcast like the Commercial Break. That's the only way you're going to get rich quick. And even then, we're 3 years in. Quick is relative. Okay. It might be.
That's right.
Yeah. The only person who's going to get rich off this is my wife after I die. Yes. All of a sudden, the Commercial Break's going to take off like a rocket. That's why I lay in bed at night.
Like many artists, when they die,
that's right,
their work becomes more popular.
Who told
more
this?
More valuable.
Who told this to Kurt Cobain? I forget who. Who told this to Kurt Cobain? I don't know. But it was told to Kurt Cobain at one point. You're worth so much more dead than you'll ever be alive.
Mm-hmm.
And how true that really is. So in reflection of what's happened in the NFT world, I want to offer a fig leaf, if you will. Is it a fig leaf, or is a fig leaf something that covers your balls?
Branch?
Olive branch. That's
okay,
what it is. I want to offer a fig leaf with my balls behind it. I want to offer you a fig branch. It's more like a fig tree trunk, if you know what I mean. It's not about the length. It's about the girth, ladies. I just gotta let you know that. I thought we have a real problem here at the commercial break. And that is anytime that we do anything in real life outside the podcast, no one pays attention. Instagram, t-shirts, giveaways. Stickers. Now, to be fair, we also don't do real well outside of the studio. We do great when the microphones are on, but then we're just kind of like, no one cares. But we have hundreds, if not thousands, of stickers. Series number one. We were going to have a series of these, right. And we didn't even get through series one.
I remember you saying that people can get sticker books.
Yeah.
And it's collect them all.
That's right. Collect them all.
How about just collect all of the ones we have left in the first series?
We just have the first series. How about many of them? So I'd like to introduce the new launch of our project for the end of season number three, NFT IRL. So we're actually going to sell NFTs, but instead of being on the blockchain, they're going to be in your post box. So it's kind of like the blockchain, but it's the post box. Yes. We are now selling our stickers, Chrissy, NFT style, but you're actually going to hold them. You can't put them on. The only way you can get them on your phone is if you stick them on your phone. We're going to be selling these for $55,000. That's 355 ETH we're going to be selling. So you send the money on over to Chrissy and I, and we'll eventually get to sending you that sticker. Probably the reason why we have some of those stickers, because people ask for them and we may have never sent them. We're kind of weak in the mail department.
We gave some out at Mempho.
We did give some out. But, you know, we had someone text us, actually, probably like 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. They texted us a picture of their Mempho sticker.
Oh, nice.
And they said, this is what they said. It took me months to get around to listening to your podcast, but it's not bad. Still have the sticker. It's not bad. This is a rousing endorsement of the commercial break. Do we have imposter syndrome?
No.
I think so. I do.
I know that we're not the worst, but we're not bad.
We're good.
What's the saying?
We're better than most, but not as good as the best.
That was from a review.
I actually will take that because that makes me feel good. Does that make you feel good?
Yeah.
It does.
We're not the worst.
It means we're not the worst. Mm-hmm. Anytime in life, and it's not very often in my life, in my last 40 odd years, it's not often that I'm not the worst at something, so I just take pride in not being the worst.
Yes.
When you set expectations low, you're bound to meet expectations. That's how I see it.
Or come close to them.
Come close to them. Okay, we'll get to more moving through the computer, because there are hundreds of items. We'll get to more as we move into the very end of the season. We have a couple more episodes.
I'll pull out my notes, too.
It's hard to believe. Do you know that I went back and I looked at how many episodes we've done this year? Take a guess.
Thousands. So far. Including the ones we didn't air?
Including the ones we didn't air? We are well into the hundreds. Well into the hundreds. There's 29 hours of material that has not been aired.
Wow.
29 hours of material that has not been aired. Probably for good reason. I mean, a lot of this stuff is just, it's just bad. Even Babe Ruth struck out everyone's. As a matter of fact, Babe Ruth struck out a lot. He was he was a home run hitter, but he struck out most of the time.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel like the commercial break is.
True.
We hit a home run here and there, but we're really striking out a lot. That's what we're doing. How many episodes? Take a guess.
I mean, 200.
We're close. We're at like 158 episodes. And by the time we finish the season, it'll be like 170.
Nice.
So you can feel proud. When I got our Spotify Wrapped, you know what a Spotify Wrapped is?
Yeah. I'm so proud of this, actually. I'm so proud of that, too.
Yeah, I'm so proud of our Spotify Wrapped because it really shows that when you go from 0 to 10 listeners, you grow by 10,000%.
I mean, so much.
So much. We went through the roof. But one of the things that they showed us that I was really impressed by is this season alone, we've created 7,218 minutes of content put on the Spotify servers. Isn't that crazy?
That's a lot.
7,000 minutes of our life wasted here at this studio, probably talking to nobody. It's amazing. I feel amazed. You know what time it is. It's time for the commercial break inside of the commercial break. And I'll keep it short because you already know. 855-TCB-8383. That's 1-855-TCB-8383 is how you get a hold of us directly. It's not a spam text message line. You can send us your comments, questions, concerns, or content ideas all through text message to 855-TCB-8383. If you're brave, leave a voicemail. We want to know about your favorite moment from season number 3. That's all of 2022. Any episode, any clip, any moment, text us. Please let us know. We've got a special surprise between season 3 and season 4, and we want you involved. Go to tcbpodcast.com, hit the contact us button. You can also send us a message there, listen to all the audio, or watch all the video. Better yet, go to youtube.com/thecommercialbreak to watch full episodes in a whole new light. Watching the video version will give you extra tickles right in your pickles. One more tiny little favor. If you are ever in the market for our sponsors, products, or services, please use the specialized URLs or codes, or go to the website that we mention on those advertisements so that the sponsors know we're doing a wonderful job. Let's listen to a word from those wonderful financial sponsors, and then we'll be back to this episode of The Commercial Break. All right, everybody, I gotta let you know about our wonderful sponsors, Lululemon. Last week, I stopped by the Lululemon store to get myself a pair of joggers. You think Lululemon is just for yoga pants? You are wrong, just like I was. Lululemon can accommodate almost any piece of your wardrobe, and they do it in style and in comfort. It's the most cozy, the most comfortable, the most flattering, active and casual wear you will ever purchase. And now, Lululemon is a sponsor of The Commercial Break, so go to Lululemon.com this holiday season. Their website has hundreds of different styles for men and for women. Jackets, slacks, hoodies, sweatshirts, socks, underwear, and yes, activewear. It's all available at Lululemon.com. Guys, don't be shy. I swear, these are the most comfortable pants I have ever worn. I'm saying it again. Never did I picture myself a Lululemon kind of guy, and now I'm sold for life. Chrissy got a jacket. She's in love with it. Astrid's ordered some apparel for after the baby comes, and now I am eyeing some slacks for Christmas. So go to Lululemon.com. Get comfortable. Get cozy. Get Lululemon this holiday season for anyone who needs a little comfort in their life. Lululemon.com, and we want to thank Lululemon for becoming a sponsor of The Commercial Break.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
I'm making Just keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
We got a couple more shows left, so I thought we'd get to some fan favorites.
Okay.
I took a couple of text messages that have been sent to us over the last couple of months. One of the fan favorites, ladies, gentlemen, and otherwise, is our dating game reviews.
Oh, yeah.
So the Love Connection, the dating game, the British version. I don't know. We did the Love Couch or something like that. Who knows? But we've done a lot of dating game reviews, and I actually think it's a good fit for us. And so I thought we'd go back to the well one more time, just like we did with Frankie B and just like we did with Mountain Monsters.
Okay.
I felt like we'd go back to the well one more time, and let's find our good friend Chuck Woolery doing another Love Connection
Chuck.
In the 80s. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I was Fox 11 News at 10.
Whoa. started a little early there. Got a head start.
Whoa. Whoa.
Hey. I feel like one of those mountain monsters. Oh. Hey. I don't know what to do. I'm down there. Woo. I don't know what he said, but I'm scared shitless. So, Chrissy, I was trolling on the internet.
As you do.
As I do like to do. And I found a love connection. What do you say we take a gander?
I would love to.
All right, here we go. Here's Chuck. And video calibration is taking place.
women drivers. So you got a problem with women driving?
Well, you know, it's
I sure do, Chuck.
God.
Wow. Starting off strong there.
Yeah. What a gentleman.
Women driving? What's that? You can drive, no problem. You sit where the horse usually sits, and you pull us over to the market. Thanks, Martha. I feel like everybody in the 1800s was named Martha.
Well, Atlanta started off as Marthasville.
Calliope or something like that. Calliope. What if my wife wanted to name our daughter I forgot the name. I'll think of the name, but it was something that you would not name a daughter in the 2000s.
Okay.
It was from like 1822.
it was like my name.
Yeah, it was like Calliope. It was like, I don't know, something like that. Margaret or something. I was like, Margaret? Names are Margaret. I guess Margaret's okay. But it was Calliope, I think. Okay.
Women drivers. Now, I don't think all women are bad drivers, but some are. You'll be...
Just the ones with vaginas.
I mean, so are some men. Jeez.
Oh, please, Chrissy. God. It's a well-known fact. It's a well-known fact.
You sound like Ron
Burgundy.
History,
I know. It's a well-known fact, Chrissy, that penises make better driving.
Okay. Well,
when you have a penis, you have a better sense of direction.
You get a third arm.
That's right. Yeah. You ever seen those guys out in the farms, like looking for water with those two sticks? Your penis does the same thing with driving directions.
You'll be on the road and you'll look over and you'll look at a girl and her head's bopping up and down like, you know, the blinders on.
You know, she's giving me a blowjob.
No reason at all. They're, you know, and more than likely their car will be sticking out in the road. Some guy will come on, hit the car, get a ticket. The girl will walk away scot clean, but if she head wasn't bopping up and down.
Jeez, he had this experience.
Well, he's a keeper.
He had this experience.
Yeah, he either had this experience or he's got a wild imagination. Her head is bobbing up and down. What does that even mean?
Like that she's dancing?
I don't know, like, Chrissy. This guy's a real catch right off the bat.
Right off
and
the
Chuck
bat.
Loves him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and they're bad on directions.
But in all fairness, don't you think some men are like that as well?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Chuck.
Oh, okay. Yeah, thanks, Chuck. I wish you had the same views now that you did then. Right. Yeah.
But, so you're not completely
but
biased.
No, I'm not completely biased, but 80-20.
I'm just mostly biased. 80-20. Yeah. Penis is favored.
Now, you see a lot of women find you arrogant. What exactly do you mean by that?
Well,
you don't say. Well, you don't say.
But he says, what do you mean by that? Well, case in point, what you just said.
Well, I guess I'm an asshole. Even my mom calls me an asshole.
A lot of confidence in myself and my abilities, and it's, you know, take it or leave it.
You know,
I guess some women have left it because he's on a fucking dating show.
Can I ask a question? Yeah, I know. I mean, isn't it obvious that he's not doing well?
No,
he's on a dating show, and he's spewing all of this bullshit on a dating show. Either he's one of these guys who likes to rile things up. He's just talking because he knows there's always, you know, the heel in wrestling. Do you know what a heel is? The heel is the bad guy, right? The heel oftentimes gets the attention and adoration of the crowd as much as the actual hero does. And I got to ask another question. Why is it the guys who are assholes are always licking their lips a lot? Is that is there something there?
It's a cocaine thing.
It's a cocaine thing. Why are guys always chewing their bottom jaw?
Then that's fine. If they walk away, then no, I don't take it personally.
Well, anyway, going to show you the women the Bob had to choose from.
Well, anyway, you're an asshole. Let's get to the show.
Stop.
Don't
stop
forget
talking.
You're
going- stop talking now.
I'm going to stop you right there.
Let's get to the women.
Before we get to the date.
Pick the woman that you think's best for him. Here we go. First, Sue Ann, she never kisses on a first date. She will kiss on a second date unless it's a lunch date. Now, she doesn't mind.
Oh, wow, sounds like those rules are complicated. I have a hard enough time navigating dating as it is. So you start putting out a schedule of kissing in trouble.
paying when she goes out, and she thinks that some men talk too much. Here's an example of that, I guess.
They have to fill it up with unnecessary conversation. Like, there can't be silence. They're not comfortable with just not saying anything. Okay, we're having a good time. We can just be quiet for a few minutes.
Oh, God, the uncomfortable silence usually comes, like, after 3 years of dating. I mean, isn't, like, that number one rule? I feel like it's a lot like the commercial break. Don't let any dead air go by.
No, yeah, you got to keep talking. Fill it up.
Yeah, but when you're on, like, date number 1, 2, 3, 4, 10, you got to have something to talk about.
Yeah,
if
hopefully.
If you can't keep the conversation going.
Hopefully you don't know everything about the person by that point.
Well, I just know everything, period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And next, Tina. Her favorite opening line is, "Hi, I'm Tina. How do you like me so far?" She says that she meets a lot of men. At-
I'm going to use that one. "Hi, I'm Brian. How do you like me so far?" According to my reviews, less than half the people like me a lot.
Jim, and unlike Sue Ann, Tina refuses to ever pay for a date, and here's why.
I think it's important that a date pays for me. I mean, I could not imagine paying for a date, simply because I think that shows that whether or not they're capable of providing for you 10 years down the line when you have 3 kids.
Has she been dating Frankie?
It just goes to show that attitudes in general were different.
Oh, yeah.
This guys, we're not even talking about 30 years ago. Well, we are talking about 30 years ago. Okay, we're talking about 30 years ago. And these attitudes are so, today they seem archaic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Olinda moved here a month ago from Seattle. She claims that she won't date a man with a mustache or bad teeth. Now, she recently spotted a great-looking man at a club, and here's how she got his attention.
As he was making his way through this narrow aisleway that I was sitting on, I just stuck my foot out and tripped him. And he didn't fall all the way down. But
he ended up with a broken clavicle in critical condition.
God.
I came in to play nurse, if you know what I mean. Jock. What a weird thing to do. I almost killed him.
He stood up he straightened himself out, and we all started talking, and we decided that was a really good way to meet guys. So I've tried it a few times.
He didn't fall all the way down, but he had this big knot on his shin.
Like a charm. Okay,
it's working like a charm.
That's
you
why
kill
I'm
him,
here.
Kill him before you date him.
That's why I'm here on this day now.
Yeah, that's why I'm here. Most of my dates end up dead. On the second date, I stab him in the eyeball with a butter knife.
That gets him going.
Yeah, that gets him going.
The three women Bob had to choose from. Time for you to vote. Make your choice now.
I'm say he goes with number two.
Me too.
She's young and
blonde.
Yeah, and blonde. And I think they probably have similar outlooks on life.
But didn't he say something in the beginning about he liked women to pay for a check or something?
No, he just said he didn't want them
driving.
Anywhere.
Okay. Yeah.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll meet the woman that Bob selected, hear everything that happened on their date.
We'll be back in 2 and 2.
Maybe we should bring this game back in modern day.
I wish.
I think it would be a great alternative
totally
to all the
agree
crazy
with you.
App stuff.
I totally agree with you. And I don't understand, quite frankly, why they don't bring this game show back. Well, you know that Fox tried to reinvent this game a couple of years ago with Andy Cohen.
You told me that.
Yeah, so Andy Cohen did this version of the dating game, but it was interesting, but I'm not sure it was the kind of interesting that we're used to out of the date. I think in this day and age with all Tinder and all that stuff, it's like it's not a novelty anymore. The two people go on a blind date, so who fucking cares? Yeah. We don't really want to watch people dating.
All right, we're back. Bob's going to tell us who he picked.
Well, I chose Olinda.
Haven't seen each other since the date.
No, he chose number three.
We always hear both sides. Say hello to Olinda Brown.
Hi, Olinda.
How are you? Hi, Chuck.
Bob says hi. Make yourself at home back there, and Bob will start us off.
Well, I called Olinda up, spoke to her sister. Her sister was a little short with me, but... She was a little rude, but I didn't even leave a message. I called back, and I left a message saying, hey, this is our love connection date. So
did
she
your sister
me.
Form an impression about Bob? I mean,
wow, that was the least interesting story I've ever heard on Love Connection. He just spent 3 minutes talking about a phone call.
he tell you, I talked to this guy, and boy, was he.
Yes, she formed an impression. She called me up at work and said, Olinda, you have been chosen by the biggest jerk in history.
Sister's onto something. Yes. She is that farmer in the middle of the trying to find water.
She felt really sorry for me, Chuck.
Oh, did you agree with that?
Well, the first time I spoke to him, I already had this in my mind, and he got on the phone and he said, hey, hope you don't have any hang-ups, you know, get my drift. He's like doing all this stuff, and I just thought, oh my God. So yes, I did have a really bad impression on the phone. It was horrible. That was real depressed.
Well, phone is not your strong suit. We find that out, Bob. So now what happened?
Yeah, I get the sense that life is not his strong suit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I went over. We decided to go skydiving.
Go skydiving?
Right, right.
Whoa, that's kind of a ballsy first date.
That really is.
Yeah, when the threat of death is imminent. This is the same girl as tripping people to get their attention.
Well, so maybe it is right.
Would you? I would never go skydiving on a first date.
No.
Never. I wouldn't go skydiving anymore.
Exactly.
Like, I'm done.
Yeah,
I'm done.
Me too.
I did it a couple times and now I'm done.
Yeah, I'm done too. But yeah, now you ease into things.
Yeah, you don't.
Get together.
Yeah. Not like goes, you know, I don't want life insurance on my blind date. Yeah, meet me at the airport. Meet me at the rickety plane with a hole in the back where we get to jump out. With these old parachutes I packed myself. Trust me? I don't like women driving, but you can pack my parachute.
It's a
trust exercise.
This before, Linda?
No, I never have at all.
So just a first date on Love Connection.
Right.
Great, let's go.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of an... Yeah. Well, now, when he came over, I assume he came to your place, did he?
Mm-hmm.
Did you form a different
Chuck
impression?
Looks
yes,
like a werewolf.
Yeah, and Chuck's wearing an orange, a brown on orange, like on orange. It's brown on orange suit, and I'm not sure because I'm colorblind, but I feel like this is not doing well for Chuck in general. His hair is all greased back.
Mm-hmm.
This is a different kind of Chuck. We haven't seen this side of him. I wonder if he had a wild night at the hotel with some of the contestants. Do you ever think Chuck gets with the contestants?
Probably.
I'm guessing. Yeah.
Probably.
He's Chuck Woolery.
Yeah.
He's dad. He's like a dad figure.
Uh-huh.
And you know, some of these young people they get with him. Guys, girls. I bet Chuck's had it all. I bet the 80s were wild for Chuck.
I bet the 80s were wild.
I gotta get some cocaine!
I was walking down the stairs and he had his back to me and then he turned around and he described himself as, you know, in the worst way possibly because he turned around and he looked great. He had big blue eyes and he was smiling like a nice, normal, happy guy. So I thought, okay, maybe this can work. And I was looking forward to the skydiving, so my spirits went up.
And what did you think of her when you saw her?
Oh, she looked great. Pretty eyes, pretty hair.
Wait till you see her in a parachute.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so.
Pretty eyes, pretty hair. She had a bus card, no driving here.
You're going.
So we drove on out to the desert. That's where they do the skydiving.
Yeah.
And she, you know, the whole
think
way out.
They do it over the ocean. They just give you a second chance.
Or over L.A. Even better. But so I got.
Chuck. They do it over the ocean.
Just give you a second chance.
Yeah, Chuck, have you ever taken a physics lesson? That water's concrete, bro.
Right.
That's why when they tell you to prepare for an ocean landing, if you're ever over the ocean on a plane, you're going to die.
Yeah. Yep.
You get to the airport, I guess.
Right. And, you know, you don't get there and jump right on the plane and jump out. There's a lot of time where you just sit and do nothing.
Oh.
So for like 3 hours.
Lucky you had a date.
Right. Yeah. They had a pool out there. So we actually sat around the pool.
We
sat around the pool and she took her shirt off. And
I did.
Wow. Fuck yeah.
Oh yeah. The audience members thought that.
She has nipples.
Wow.
People like jump out the window. I thought about a nipple. Uncovered breasts. Quick, get some water. Wash me off. I just jizzed all over myself. He suggested a boob.
Well, now you made it sound like she.
Chuck.
Made it sound like she took her shirt off and there's nothing underneath. Come on.
She had like a little tie.
Yeah, she had tits under there.
What, Linda? What? Taco, Linda.
I had a top on a tank top, and I had a sweater, a cardigan over it. It was 110 degrees, so I was wearing shorts, and I had this little tank top on, and I took my cardigan off. Yeah.
It was little. Chuck. It was
little top.
Right.
It was little Chuck, and barely covered her nipples. It was like an it was like Brian's Instagram feed.
You know, they get around the nipples thing on my Instagram feed. They put like a sheer piece of plastic that these girls do. They put a sheer piece of plastic over their chest and they call it a covering. It's unbelievable how hypocritical fucking Facebook and Instagram are.
So you're sitting around the pool and
there's
so nothing personal. I heard you cough back there, Linda. He didn't mean you had a little top. He meant that the top was little.
Right, right.
There may be no good way out of this. You know what I mean.
Well, Chuck, it's open mouth, insert balls.
So she was sitting there and her back was to me because, you know, I was wandering around, you know, trying to get into trouble.
Trying to see her top.
Right. And
I'm trying to get into trouble.
What is happening?
Where are they?
I don't know. They're at a pool in the middle of the desert, but she didn't drive.
She took the bus.
They're waiting for three hours. Now she's topless. Chuck's obsessed with her small chest. I don't get it.
And this guy says he's walking around trying to get in trouble.
I know. What kind of trouble can you get into?
I don't know.
I would think falling out of the plane is as much trouble as you'd want to get into.
There, and I walked over to her, and I put my hands on her back, and I just felt her just melt.
Yeah, well,
it was just incredible.
Slipped her some ecstasy earlier.
I gave her two roof and all, and I just started massaging her. She fell asleep right in the pool. I actually had to pull her out while she was still breathing. It was amazing, Chuck. Luckily, I was driving.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a correct assessment of what may have happened to Linda?
I think that's that arrogant thing coming out again, Chuck, because it was really nice. He came up behind me, gave me a little back massage, but I think I was melting because it was 115 degrees. Maybe a little bit.
That's really personal.
Give a back massage on a blind date. Yeah, I mean, but I've been on dates, like first dates, but I haven't been on many blind dates.
Yeah.
You know, my Tinder dates were complete train wrecks, and that's about as far as I've ever gone on a let me massage you.
Take your top off.
Let me massage you. You'll melt right into my arms. I've got a penis. It is kind of personal on a first date.
Yeah.
You got to be in the right situation.
Yeah.
Right?
It's not even at the end of the date.
I know.
At the beginning.
You got to be drunk for that to happen.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. Then you start getting handsy. Yeah. On ecstasy. Cocaine. Actually, the opposite of physicality happens on cocaine.
Yeah.
Everybody starts going, they shrink.
So now let me ask you something. You got a lot of time before you jump in the airplane. This is kind of like your father spanking you and saying, oh, wait a few hours and think about it. What in the fuck just happened, Chuck?
What the fuck, Chuck?
You're talking about her chest. You can't get that idea of her tits near the pool. Now your father spanks her?
What? That was weird.
Chuck's kinky.
Is he getting a little nervous about it? Are you nervous? Is it your first jump?
My first jump.
Oh, yeah. So both of you now.
We were really nervous. He was so nervous. He was running all around the place because he couldn't sit still. And he was, you know, going into every building and trailer and jumping up and down. And
that was the cocaine.
Yeah.
That's the cocaine talking.
We were both really nervous, but it was a fun sort of nervous. So it was good.
So
now you get on the airplane.
I'm still trying to picture what this compound looks like.
I don't know where they are.
Trailers.
Are they at Manson's?
Cool.
Are they at Manson's ranch or something? Where are they? Trailers and a pool and a plane and what's going on there? They do it differently in California. I went skydiving and it was a big barn full of people packing parachutes, and we did have to wait a long time because you know you got to wait for multiple. You got to be there early, and then multiple groups go, and then they make decisions. But there was no pool, there was no trailers, no cocaine, no one gave me a massage. I didn't see any tits that I know of.
Get on the airplane, you go up to 12,000 feet, and you just jump out.
Just jump out, man.
Just do it.
That's what happens when you parachute. You just jump out. That's what you do when you parachute out of a plane. What did you expect? They were going to give you a ladder?
And it's awesome.
Seems like there should be more to it than that, doesn't it?
It's awesome. You're on the ground before you know it. You free fall for like 60 seconds, and you're just it's just over.
So you free fall for a whole minute.
Right. It's incredible.
Wow. How much does this cost to do this?
About $150 a person.
$150 a person. A little more than we gave you, isn't it? So now
that's okay. My dad's got lots of money.
Yeah.
I'm making lots of money in the NFT market, Chuck. Don't worry about it. I got two board apes. My Bitcoin's at 70,000, man.
Is there any romance going on here before or after the jump?
Well, right before we jumped, I walked over to her and I kissed her and I wished her
luck.
Well,
it may have been your last kiss in life,
right.
So yeah.
So I had to do it. I trusted my instructor, though.
Yeah, well, your instructor has nothing to do with the chute opening.
No, you're absolutely, yeah.
So after the jump, everything's great?
No, you can't just jump on your own the first time. That doesn't happen.
No, you got to do tandem.
Yeah, you got to do tandem. The instructor has everything to do with whether or not you live because they have the parachute on their back.
Yeah.
Did I tell you that story?
This was maybe Rogue, like back in the early Wild West of, you know, skydiving.
Yeah, listen, accidents do happen. As a matter of fact, here in Georgia, there have just been a couple over the last couple of years where parachutes have failed and people have passed away. It's still a very dangerous thing to do, activity to do. When I went, they give you the whole lesson. Have you been?
No, I haven't. I've been parasailing, and that did involve the ocean.
Yeah.
And I would like to go hang gliding.
Oh, man, I don't even know if I could do it. Mainly because of my fear of heights. Like, I can fly a plane, but there's a plane around me. You know what I'm saying? I'm in some control of it. But when we went skydiving, they put you on the back of somebody.
Yes.
Right? Okay. So when you first jump out of the plane, they're attached to your back, like their face is right on your shoulder. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm 6 feet tall and he's 6 feet tall, which I'm not 6 feet tall, if he's 6 feet tall and I'm 6 feet tall, we're basically standing together because that's how you have to walk out of the airplane.
Yeah.
Then you free fall, you're still, you know, back to back, like he's literally, you know, you guys are attached. But then when they pull the chute, in order to see where he's going, they have to drop you a little bit so that they are, so they can control it.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't pay attention to that part of the training because I was too busy throwing up and having diarrhea from my nerves. I was too busy shitting myself in order to pay attention to all of the training, which I should have, right? Because all they said was, all you have to do is remember a couple things.
Uh-huh.
You're not going to die. Make sure you breathe because it is hard to breathe when you're moving that fast through the air. And they said, just yell, scream. No one's going to hear you, right? And I'm like, oh, that's comforting. If I'm screaming, no one's going to hear me. But then when they pull the chute, they unhook these two little buttons and you free fall for a split second. For a split second. I'm talking like a millisecond. You move a little bit faster and you move down about 2 feet.
Oh, your stomach drops.
Oh, my God. I took screaming to a whole nother level. I sounded like a bored ape yacht club getting smacked. Ah! It was the scariest millisecond of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you loved it.
Right.
But now is it getting any more romantic?
Well, we get down and we decide to have a few drinks and just kind of get the nerves out of us. You know, our hands were shaking. It was like you're on five
dull those nerves.
Gotta get the poison out. I don't know if you know this, Chuck, but you're supposed to masturbate 21 times a month.
You know, strong drink.
So we're inside and, you know, we're drinking and it was still out at the jump site.
Right.
And,
They have a bar at the jump site
too?
What is going on? I want to go to this jump site. How do you get there? Maybe
trailers, bars.
If I had a pool with some cocaine and trailers I could run in and out of.
And girls running around
topless with some drinks, I wouldn't have bothered me one bit, that little drop.
You know, I lean over and I give her a kiss. You know, and she kisses me back. You know, no hesitation whatsoever.
None.
She just leaned right into it.
Yeah. And he is so proud of himself. He is so fucking full of himself. She just leaned right into it, man. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying, Chuck?
No hesitation.
I got a huge, thick dick.
So how'd the date end?
Well, it was a long day, so I drove her up to her place and... you know, she got out of the car and we kissed goodnight and I said, see you on the show. You're a great gal and I hope to see you again.
Good.
And that's
Sounds
about
like a
it.
Great day.
Wow. What a romantic way to wrap it up.
No meal to sit down and talk over.
Yeah, none of that stuff.
No.
We don't want to get into formalities, Chrissy. We just jumped out of a plane with your tits hanging out.
Let's get you liquored up. Taking you home.
Let's get you liquored up at the barn where the planes take off for parachuting.
Real good day.
Great time.
I thought you were going to get shot down in flames, Bob. I swear I did. I'm surprised. I'm happy for you. Let's take a look and see the audience.
If I could pick Bob, the person I would pick would be Bob for Bob.
Yes.
Oh, they chose Alinda. 53% is enough. So you want to ask her out, we'll help supplement your day.
Alinda, how would you like to go out again?
I'd love to.
Come on out, Alinda.
All right, that worked out.
I love when a connection gets made. That's one of the biggest douchebags I've ever seen on that show. And I've seen almost every episode there ever has been of The Love Connection. Because I love it and I grew up with it. Yeah. You know, they used to play those reruns in the 90s. They would just play those shows over and over again. Do you remember that, like, I don't know if it was TNT or TBS. They used to have, like, coffee in the afternoons. It was like some weird hybrid talk program,
right?
And then they'd show television shows in between it, and Love Connection was constantly on that show. And so I'd watch that. It'd be like,
because it's great to make fun of.
It is great to make fun of. And that's why it's low hanging fruit for the commercial break. And as we get into episode number 762 of the season, we thought we'd go for some low hanging fruit. All right, well, we covered a whole bunch today, Chrissy.
We did.
You know,
I think that's all we can do.
And we haven't even made a dent in the list that I have for 2022 of things to talk about. We should go way back to the beginning of the year and see what we were talking about back then. All right. If you want to jump out of a plane with Chrissy and I, dial us up 855-TCB-8383, 1-855-TCB-8383. Questions, comments, concerns, content ideas, or your favorite episode or clip from season number 3, send it to us. You can text us or you can leave us a voicemail. That's not a spam text message line. Chrissy or I or someone closely related to the show promise to get back to you. We will never spam your phone number. It's an actual phone number. You just text it and that's it. And it's toll free from around the world. We'll pick up the charges whether you want to call or you want to text. TCBpodcast.com. Did you see the new TCBpodcast.com?
Yes.
We're working on a new website. It's so awesome.
I love it.
It's like the website is so much better than the show ever will be. I feel like we're not imposter syndrome again. We're so not worthy.
And try and catch up to it.
I know. We're going to. Yeah, that's it. That's right. I'm going to set expectations high on the website and then we'll try and match them here on the show.
Yes.
Season number 4 coming the first week in February. Until then, live episodes, best of, and clips. And we have some special guests in store.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. So you'll be excited to hear that if you're a fan of the show. At The Commercial Break on Instagram, youtube.com/The Commercial Break for fully edited episodes just a couple days after they air here on the RSS feed. Okay, Chrissy, that's all I can do for today, I'm sure.
I think so.
I love you.
I love you.
Best to you.
Best to you.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I always say we do say and we must say.
Bye.